24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music reminds me. You already know me, I'm Marcy, alongside Matt, the ultimate KISS fan, Porter. And Porter, we are back today with two great guests. First off, she's the owner of A Little Witchy. She's been bewitching, doing new take on weddings, healings, readings, investigations, and more. She does it all. She even was a mayor. We have the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Maureen Grudinski in the house, and also an aspiring actor. A longtime buddy of mine, went to high school together, Nick Christie. Guys, welcome to Damage Radio.
Thank you so much.
So, talk about the ride first, Maureen. You came a long way. So, how was the ride down here? Tell the Damage fans.
I did. I do have to say that I hate the turnpike.
Yep.
I guess everybody could say that, though. It was interesting. It was about a two-hour ride. I picked up Nick, another 42 minutes here. So, it was a while to get here, but I'm actually happy. Very happy to be here with everyone. So it should be fun.
That's good. So tell the Damage fans a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to pursue the careers that you pursued.
Oh, there's so much. Mm-hmm. Everything's a little bit different. So as far as the A Little Witchy, I've had abilities my whole life. And I got very sick in 2016, and I blacked out at my office. So I'm not somebody who just sits around and does nothing. So I started tarot card reading, and I took Reiki classes, and I started to use those things to help others. And I wanted to heal people and give closure, and my senses were heightened. So I used my sixth sense. So that was also heightened as well. I started that business, and it kind of blew up, and I also became mayor of my town, and I was performing marriages for people. And when I was creating A Little Witchy, I completely forgot that I was able to perform marriages after I was no longer mayor. But if you don't lose an election, you can continue to perform marriages. So I was sitting around one day, and I just realized that I was still able to do that. So I kind of expanded upon it, and I created magical matrimonials. And that has become a major part of my business, and I really love what I do. I kind of compare it to being working at Disney. Everyone's happy all the time, and this is one thing that I can never make anyone upset over because they're in love and they're happy all the time. So I started doing that, and it kind of just spun off and out of control, and I continued to create like a tree from this root that started. So it's just become more and more.
So first step, when you realized you had like a sixth sense and you could realize stuff like that, were you a little freaked out yourself in the beginning, or like talk about that process in the beginning?
No, because I was so young. I think the first time something ever happened to me was when I was around 3 or 4. And if you listen to anyone with abilities, I think that's about the age that they start to talk about things. So the first time something actually happened to me was when I was about 3. My parents were on the front porch with the neighbors, and it was getting dark. It was just about dusk, and I was plugging in a nightlight, and I remember exactly what it looked like. It was this orange goldfish with sparkles inside of it, and I think when we're that age, we kind of don't have the hand-eye coordination, and I went to plug the nightlight in, and both prongs didn't enter the wall into, and I think my father probably wanted to kill me. He was an electrician at the time, and the prong missed and just entered one side. My finger was on the other side, and I was electrocuted. So I had these watchers that would stand around my bed every night, and I kind of thought that that was normal. So one of them was standing behind me and put its hand on my shoulder, and it wasn't talking in my ears. It was talking in my head, and it said, everything's going to be okay. And I didn't feel it. I just had a singe mark on my finger, the shape of a prong. And I didn't feel it. I didn't have any kind of residuals. It just that burn mark. Of course, my parents came back in after sitting on the porch, and my mother started screaming at the top of her lungs. And my mother had a really loud scream. So that kind of frightened me, but what happened didn't. And I think everything since then was kind of the same. I mean, I've been in near fatal car accidents, and there was nothing left to the vehicle, and I was perfectly fine, and I pretty much walked away from it. As a matter of fact, I had one, and it was the most recent. There was nothing left to the car. The entire highway was shut down all day long, probably for 12 hours. The gas spilled out of the car. They had to have hazmat come. The car was ready to explode. Ironically, a guy I went to junior high with pulled me out of the vehicle. He didn't even recognize me because we hadn't seen each other in so long. He was also my son's science teacher and football coach. And he had to pull me out of the back window because everything was bent so badly. And I literally walked to the ambulance in between not being conscious. And they scanned me to be able to leave the hospital, and they found a mass on my lung. So it was almost something that should have happened to kind of save me. So it's really strange how things have kind of snowballed since then. It's a weird thing.
All right, wait, we got to back up for a second. Okay, so how old are you when you electrocute yourself?
About three.
Okay, so at 3 years old, you see these figures. Does that freak you out, or you just expect everybody sees people like this?
I guess I kind of thought that everyone saw them, and I wasn't freaked out. They're very calming. I still have them.
What do they look like?
So they're probably about 7 to 9 feet tall. I can't judge since I'm so small myself.
Right? Okay.
They wear black cloaks. They have a flat plate-like face, and it's porcelain textured. They kind of glow remember glow bugs?
Yeah, yeah.
So right. Like that bluish glow. They have comma-shaped eyes that are cobalt, but it's hard to explain what it looks like. They're kind of swimmy, like a blue water almost. Two dots for a nose, no texture to it. It's just flat. And then a very small straight line for a mouth. It doesn't move. It doesn't talk. I don't think it would eat.
So they communicate telepathically.
Yes.
Okay, now look, at always. 3 years old, you see these clearly. Who's the first person you told about that?
I don't remember ever telling anyone.
Just never thought to bring it up.
But I know for a fact that I was told that I was lying. So I know that I must have told someone because my whole life I've been told I was a liar about all of this.
Well, because that's, I mean, a lot of time people, like the parents will be like, oh no, she's got the special friend like that lives under the bed. You know, like, I mean, people would be wondering what you're seeing, but yet you have such a clear vision of it. That's what I find so fascinating.
Yeah, and I've never had a special, you know, a friend or, you know, a little bestie who was invisible or anything like that. I've never had anything like that. I never wanted a brother or sister. I've never been that type of person.
Is there one that would reoccur to you, or are they different every time, or like what?
They all look exactly the same. They even have wings.
The same. Okay.
Wow.
So
now look, I'm going to stop you right there. Now, does that equal kind of the vision that people in most cultures associate as an angel?
Well, it's funny that you ask that, because I've been putting together this theory, and people might think I'm crazy, but
we're all crazy here. You know, that's why we're all completely damaged.
We're all a little damaged.
We're all mad here. I think, and this is just my theory, I'm a witch, so I don't, and I'm not Wiccan. I don't have that, you know, particular religion. I put all of the most beautiful parts of religions together, and I form my own, and I have my own beliefs. I truly believe that there is no heaven, there is no hell. It's just a different dimension. I believe that aliens and angels are the same thing.
I'm with you on that.
And it's interesting because this thing kind of does look alien-ish, or what we know of aliens, and it does have wings. And they are beautiful, benign, loving creatures. And I've never been hurt by any of these. But the strange thing is, I was trying to explain something to someone not long ago, and I called them, and it just came out of my mouth recently. I've never called them anything else, and I've never even told anyone until this day. And I said, they are my watchers. And I said, I can't believe I just said that, because I've never called them anything or told any. And when I looked up watchers in the Bible, watchers are actual demons. But demons can actually do positive or negative things, depending on what your intention and perception is. So,
but also in some ways, you're not subscribing necessarily a biblical sense to them. Like in the Bible, it's called a watcher, but you're kind of looking at it not with necessarily a biblical
correct
foundation. So like if you're calling it that, that's your take on what they are, but not necessarily applying that they are one or the other. Because it sounds like they've been pretty nice to you. It's not a demonic thing.
You're right.
So that's positive.
Yeah, and I don't look at good and bad. I look at positive and negative, and I look at perception and intention.
Right.
So that's just my take.
That's wild. Now, okay, so 3 years old. Did they follow you all your life?
They're always around
my bed.
They're
always around. They're just around your bed. Do they follow you? Like, do they go? Like you mentioned that car accident. Now, are they there? You said the car's total, but you're fine, which a lot of time people might subscribe to. Well, it's your guardian angel, or somebody's watching over me. Were they there at that moment? Do you see them, or do you see them protecting you?
I see them at random times. I see certain things at certain times. Like, I am unwell. I have very rare, complex, chronic illnesses. When I say rare, I mean like 1 to 2 people out of a million people, which is very strange to me also. I've been to hospitals in Philadelphia. I've been to hospitals in Wilkes-Barre. I've been to hospitals in New York. And I see the same man everywhere I go. And he's in the same suit. And he looks exactly the same every time I see him. And he just has these blue piercing eyes, and at first I thought maybe he's an archangel, maybe he's a doctor, but it just seemed strange that he was at every single hospital to be a doctor.
You see him, does he interact with you, or you just see him?
He looks me square in the eyes.
And then he goes about his business.
And just keeps going about his business. And then I thought, is he the Grim Reaper? Is he a watcher? Is he a spirit guide? And I kind of haven't put it together yet, but...
But you only see him in the hospital?
Every hospital I go to.
Wow. Since what age?
Well, since I've had these diseases. I haven't really been to hospitals prior to that. So 2016.
See, I just find it fascinating, the timeline. The fact that you can remember as far back as 3 that you've had interaction with them essentially all your life. and have such a vivid vision of what they are. I find that fascinating.
I can tell you what this guy wears, what his tie looks like, what shirt he wears, what color suit. It's like if women picture what Christian Grey would look like, this is the man. So I don't mind seeing him.
Right. You're like, hey, what's up?
Hey. Hello. What are you doing there?
Blue eyes. Yeah. Hey, I've seen Archangel Michael. He's come to me while I was sleeping, and I know for a fact when I'm sleeping and when I'm not sleeping, because I don't sleep a lot. And when you're sleeping, your heart's not racing, you know, when that shows up. And Michael, to other people I've talked to, he's looked just like they have been told by church, you know, the
right,
the breastplate with the, you know, the loincloth and the sword and the shield and the angel wings. That's not what he looked like when he came to me. And just like you said, Matt, when, you know, to me it might be different because right. I don't have that. And I went from public school to Catholic school, and I probably could tell you more about what's in the Bible than people who are very religious. I like to read, I like to learn, and I'm poring over the Bible and, you know, everything on Google. So I'm not unintelligent. I try to be as knowledgeable and I learn as much as I can, and I take classes all the time. This is not the man that showed up to me. This is a man, I mean, blue is the color that goes with Archangel Michael. His sword was cobalt, fiery blue. He had wings that were like razor blades. They were all steel. But he showed up in a pair of jeans, construction boots. He was glowing. No shirt, like Magic Mike.
Without the dance.
Not dancing. Long, blonde, wavy hair, blue eyes, and not what you'd expect from the church. You know, I think it is what you perceive and right. what... Yeah. He's not going to show up to me like an archangel would to somebody else that goes to church. He's going to show up to me like someone. I mean, they don't want to scare people.
Right.
In the Bible, angels look like wheels of eyes. If that showed up to somebody else, right. it would scare the life out of them. You know, like, what I mean? What the heck is going on? You know what I mean? So they're going to show up the way, just like ghosts, you know, or spirits, they show up to people how they want to look and how they felt their best. That's just how they show up. I mean, people say, is it my grandmother? Well, does she look like blah, blah, blah? And if it's, you know, if she wanted to look like she did when she was 18, they're not going to recognize that. They're going to say, no, that's not who it is. You know, you're totally wrong. And they're going to leave with a huff, you know, that's... Right. Get out a picture. Look back to what she looked like when she was 18. That's probably who she is.
It's almost like, you know, like all the ups and downs you had in your life is with the characters and these spirit angels that are coming to you. They're all different, you know, good, bad, evil.
I mean, people say, well, how do you, if you're not religious or if you're not Catholic, or if you're not whatever, how are you not possessed or how are you not, how do you not have a negative attachment? Well, I believe in belief. I believe in, you know, the best parts of everything. I have a very upbeat personality. I'm fighting for my life currently. I gave up my health to help people. This, and I truly believe that. I gave up my, I don't want to say my body, but I was diagnosed with a multi-system atrophy. I was given a 10-year lifespan. Technically, I'd have 3 years left. I'm not giving up and, you know, laying in bed and throwing my life away. I'm giving up what I have left to help people get closure or talk to their family that one last time or, you know, figure out what they need to do with their life or whatever they need or however they want to handle, you know, what's going on at that time. It's what I'm here for. I believe that it is a gift. Maybe not from God per se or Buddha or whomever. Maybe it's aliens. Maybe it's angels. Maybe it's angel aliens. Whatever it is, you know, and people say that they don't believe in this. Well, then how do I know what it's like. I've flatlined on the table before, and I know what it's like on the other side. Mm. Not everybody can say that. So if they are skeptics, they're the ones that keep me honest. And that's what I I really love about this.
There's like so much to unpack here. You know? It's like when you talk about the other side, like right away, we could go off on that tangent. What's that Seriously. About? You know, to me, I find it fascinating. How are you able to turn like these experiences from, like you said, 3 years old, which fascinates me to no end, but that they have guided you to this point where you were able to discover your abilities. I think that even just that story could easily fill the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you were, like, open to it. Were you ever afraid of it?
No.
See, that's fascinating. That's,
yeah. I'm not afraid of anything. I mean, people are afraid to die. I'm not. I've been there.
Yeah, been there and back.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had.
Other side, what does it look like?
Yeah, I'm going to... Can I say my experience?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You go first. I want to see.
So I've had two. I was really sick when I was younger, and I was in a tunnel that was very dark with a blue light at the end. It's blue is always like the experience for me, and I don't know why, but it was blue at the end, kind of like that glowy, cobalty blue, and there were hands reaching out to me from the sides, and that was scary to me, I think. But there were three people that were kind of shadow figures, but I knew who they were because they were talking to each other and they were saying each other's names. Plus, I've seen pictures, but I couldn't make out any of their facial features or anything like that. But it was my great-grandmother, my grandfather on my mother's side, and my uncle on my mother's side. And two of them passed away right after I was born, and then one passed away when my mom was really little. So they were having this argument over whether they should keep me there or send me back. And I kind of wanted to stay with them because I've never had a chance to know any of them. And they were so amazing from what I understand. And then one of them wanted to send me back because it wasn't my time yet. And I got sucked back out through the tunnel. And I knew my fever had broken. And I think the sucking back is what terrified me. And then the second time I was having a kidney biopsy because I have kidney disease. And I also have something called dysautonomia. So the dysautonomia handles all the autonomic functions, the blood pressure, the heart rate, how your bowels work, how your kidneys function, how your bladder functions, your temperature, how you sweat, all of it. Like everything that you can't control yourself. And they started the anesthesia for it, and you lay on your stomach and you have a CAT scan machine running around you so they could see where to inject the needle and take 6 pieces of your kidney. So as soon as they did the anesthesia, everything started to crash and I heard the flat line, and then everything started to sound really quiet and everyone started to run around. And I could still hear my own thoughts and still hear all of that. And then it felt like a black velvet curtain dropped over me. And it just felt like the most peaceful summer nap when the breeze kind of runs through with the curtains. And I could still hear them running around and screaming. And then it got quieter and quieter and quieter. And it was just calm. So calm and so dark. And I thought, I never get to sleep. This is the best nap I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
And then this woman started to slap my hand and scream with a screechy Pennsylvania accent. Honey, you need to get up. I love your rings. When did you get this nail polish? Is adorable. And the first thought I had was, lady, shut up.
Yep.
I really want to continue my nap. And then all of a sudden, my eyes started to open, and I could hear the beep.
Wow.
Beep.
Jeez.
And my goosebumps. Blood pressure was like 30 over 12 or something like that. I mean, it was low, and my heart rate was in the toilet. It was maybe 37 or something like that. And I looked up, and I looked at her, And I thought, this is my life right now. I just want my nap back.
Yeah. Where's the snooze button to finish?
That's and me every morning.
And I just remember her saying, we can't use anesthesia. We're going to use like small amounts of fentanyl. And you might feel it a little bit at first. And I felt everything from there to the end of it. So 6 times they took pieces of my kidneys. Mm. And I just remember biting on a pillow and screaming at the top of my lungs. And I never had any of the fentanyl that she was giving me, or it just didn't work because of the autonomic system. And it was horrifying. And I thought I just should have let go at that point and just passed on to the other side, because it was horrible. Mm. It was awful.
Whew.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Completely different. 100%
different. Would you like to switch?
We all have passed. And, for one reason or another, I ended up on my bathroom floor. And my heart, there was no beating. There was nothing. I wasn't breathing. And my stepfather was trying to give me CPR. And it took about 5 minutes, I guess. And the EMTs and everybody arrived. And it took a lot to bring me out of it. But when I came back, like, they told me I was definitely, like, completely done for 5 minutes. Like, straight. And I don't know how, like, there's no brain damage, but I'm so lucky. But I saw absolutely nothing.
That's kind of how this went.
It was just dark. It was just dark. I don't know if it was just dark or...
It was black. Black, black.
Black, yeah. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. I came to and it was like...
Was it peaceful, though?
No, it was panic. As soon as I woke up, it was... But it was adrenaline. I woke up from adrenaline, so I was... Oh, my God! Like, it wasn't peaceful. It was different. It was definitely different.
Do you remember the other side? Were you still kind of conscious?
No.
Did you see anybody you knew? Like, that's what I find fascinating. That part.
The first time I did, right. I didn't see anybody. The second, I just wanted my nap with my blanket. That
right.
That was it.
Yeah, I do remember it being like the like sleep though. Yeah, it was like like the deepest like comfort sleep. That is what I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I wish I didn't. And a time before that, this time I didn't learn my lesson from the first time. So the first time I was in a car and, out for minutes or whatever, took me to the hospital, and they did what they did. I woke up and, it was just... It was just dark, but, like, it was peaceful when I woke up, though, because, like, there wasn't people around me yelling at me, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I started thinking that maybe I didn't see anything because I don't know what I believe in as far as the afterlife goes, you know what I mean? This part of the reason why I do the things that I do is I want to see... Like, I've seen that there's an afterlife and everything, you know what I mean? I've experienced some really crazy things.
Well, it's funny you say that, because here, this is where it ties back to what I think, what I find the most fascinating part of it. You're seeing specific people, because I think, as you mentioned earlier, you're not afraid of death or whatever. To me, do they give you any indication where they are? Like, do they say, like you say, didn't want to come back? Where are they? And especially, you talked earlier about contacting people's loved ones, things like that, because I think that's the one, probably the greatest question that we'll never know the answer until later. Is there an afterlife? Like you said, you're questioning what that is. It's the greatest mystery that any of us really don't know the answer to.
But you see how Christians and everybody, when they pass and come back, they have these stories about, they heard.
Right.
Maybe that has that ties into their belief, you know what I mean? Because there's DMT released in your brain when you die.
Right.
So a lot of it is, you're tripping. That's what, you know.
Well, I think, and that's the thing, it is based on kind of what you believe that next level is. That's what I think is interesting, is if, you know, you talk to different people and have contacted different people whose vision of what that next stage is could be very different. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten a sense from yourself, is there something where it's kind of all rooted in a similar, like, I mean, when you're a kid, you go to Sunday school and they say, well, the streets are made of gold and everything's lollipop and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Then you get older and you start to realize maybe it's not exactly that way. Do you get a sense, is there a uniformity that you can look at and say, based on my knowledge and the people that have gone to the other side, you hear that phrase a lot. Mm-hmm. Does it look the same for people? Does it look different for people? Like, and what are some of the consistencies? What are some of the differences?
From everyone that has contacted me to contact their loved ones, it's kind of like the collective consciousness. It's almost as if they are together and they're coming back to... They can come back here to talk to whomever they want to as much as they want. And they're preparing to come back around and reincarnate to learn whatever lesson they didn't learn the last time. But it's kind of like, I always compare it to like a frat house or like a college campus. So they... You know, they play their penny poker or their rummy cube or, you know, whatever they did in life with their loved ones. And they kind of go to class when they need to go to class to figure out whatever it is that they need to learn to come back around. But once they've cycled through as much as they had to, then they're kind of done. And they can choose to come back if they want to help others. Or they cycle out and they're just finished with this dimension. So that's why I think it is like a dimensional thing. It's kind of like you're here and then you're here. And I think that that's kind of why we're able to see spirits as well as we can. Well, I mean, I can see them, but right. You guys may not be able to see them.
And you wouldn't have, like, you have the ability to see them. I am a jabroni who can't, I don't have that energy. You know, but see, I believe
I believe in
energy. To me, it's like, you know, everybody puts energy. Out energy, right? And it's why it's the whole thing of like why positive people draw people to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that, and I think a lot of that kind of stuff, it's not necessarily good or evil. It's positive or negative.
It is positive.
You know, I think that's a huge thing. And you do meet certain people based on that.
And it's not just positive or negative. It's also perception and intention, like I said earlier. Right. I mean, you might be doing something negative, but it could be for, you know, the right intention, like someone robs a convenience store, but they're doing it because COVID happened, they have to feed their baby, you know, and that's the only way they can get something immediately.
So you're already going through a lot, you know, putting your energy out there and dealing with, you know, balancing family life and everything, and then other people's life as well. Mm-hmm. If a negative spirit comes in, is it hard for them to leave, or do they stick with you a little bit before? How does that work?
It depends. If they're coming through because they want to cross over, and negative energies are usually here because they're ornery, they're irritated, they've been here too long. It's usually they're on planet too long and they need to cross over, or they have a message they want to give or whatever. I try to handle it, and I think that spirits are, they're people too. They're just not in human form. They've left their meat suit, which is what I call it. It would be nice if you can zip something off and zip something better on. But
got that right. I'm a double cheeseburger.
I'm kind of getting there myself. So I think it's just that they've left their meat suit and their spirit or soul or whatever you want to call it is...
That'll like, crack me up for the rest of the day. Sorry.
You're welcome. But you have to be kind to them because I think that that's the problem. They're like just stomping their feet, throwing a temper tantrum like a 2-year-old, and they don't know what to do with themselves, and they're angry and they're ornery, like, you know, a nasty old man that's, yeah, or old woman, let's go with both. And they just kind of want to get out of here. And you just have to handle them with a little care. And I think too many people are just get them out of here, you know, and we need to figure out what they want and how to help them a little bit better and just be kind to them.
Right. If you guys have a question or a comment or a story to tell, 215-619-7366. I repeat, 215-619-7366. You guys, Elsie, you got into tarot reading and Reiki, and explain what that is. And I do like.
So Reiki, I had a reading by someone who said, you should really look into Reiki because you're not well, but you also have really great energy and you would be able to help other people. And the more you help other people with Reiki, the better you'll feel because it kind of plays off of each other. I had no idea what Reiki was, so I kind of looked it up and I looked into it. And when someone tells you that you should do Reiki, it's an indication that you're being drawn to it. And that's how it typically works. So this man by the name of Usui, he started Reiki and he went to the top of a mountain and he was drawn to it. So there are, you're used as a conduit by Source, and Source is God or Buddha or Allah or whatever. And you will channel whatever that source is, and you use your hands to put Reiki into another person and help heal them. So it's kind of the use of energy to heal a person, and you're using someone else. So you're not actually using your own energy. But I found out that I am actually an energy worker and mover. So I can actually use my hands and blow colors into them. And when I say colors, you would, my idea would might be different than yours. So for instance, red would be passion, pink would be love, yellow would be joy, green, like green for me is healing, or dark green would be abundance. So money, assets, whatever. And I would think of one of those colors and I would focus on that, and I would build energy with my hands into a ball of energy. So it's like a magnet, and you just keep building the ball larger and larger. And then you take that color and you keep like blowing into it. And the larger you make it, the better. And you focus on a person that needs help, or, you know, whatever, or that you can't stand and you want to rain terror on them. I don't do that because that's not who I am. But you would, you know, blow color into your hands and just keep making that ball bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you focus on the person. If they're with you, you can throw that ball of energy at them. And it actually works. I've done this with many people and they can feel it. But if you're not with them, you can throw it at a picture or in their direction and just picture them in your head. And it's weird because I've done this with people that are far away from me, and they said that they feel like tingly, or they feel their heart start.
It's funny that you'd say that right at this minute, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm looking out there, public safety, that's Keith. He talks about a lot of that. And the one day he started doing that, and he moved his hand over to my hand, and the hairs on my arm started. And it was real. I mean, this was not, and I'm looking at it like, what is going on? And you could feel it.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question for you, and this is totally off the topic. Does it take your energy to do it, number one? Do you feel spent after you do it? And two, can you use that on my foot? Because my foot hurts every day.
I could do it on your foot.
I would love you forever.
When I do an energy, well, here's the weird thing. So when I was young, I had lots of stuff going on, and I'm not going to get into that, but I was filled with rage. And I had no way to, there was no outlet for it. So I would have so much of it, I would just sit and shake but if I drove with my family underneath traffic lights, the lights would go out. Right. There were some times that it got so bad that I would literally pop light bulbs. I mean, they would shatter. Fires would start or things would break. My computer screen would be like glitching out. I would break cell phones. It was really bad. But now I think I'm at such a place of calm and peace and quiet inside that I just have to rub my hands together and I can just feel the energy. It's almost like magnets pushing away from each other.
So you can control it.
Oh, I can control it. I can. Wow. I've actually said to someone one day, a friend of mine called and she's like, I'm so nervous about this job interview. And she was a pile of nerves. And I said, I want to try something with you. I stood in front of a mirror. I pictured her next to me. And I literally like body jumped her and just calmed her down. And I literally saw her face over my face. And she freaked out and she said, get out of my body. And she hung up. But then she called me back, and I literally felt her. I felt it like a fish flip inside of me, and she was out of me. And she said, "Don't ever do that to me again." And I didn't hear from her for about 2 weeks. And she called me back, and she said, "I need to know how to do that." Now I can, if I'm at the doctor and I feel nervous, I need to calm my blood pressure down and everything. I can literally sit there, calm myself down, put myself at the beach, and all of a sudden, they're like, oh, your blood pressure is 103 over 78.
Wow. That's fascinating. Yeah. Now, as you mentioned earlier, you're doing this to help people. That's really helping people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's incredible.
Their whole medical file changes. I mean, it's like crazy. Does it take out of me? Maybe. But I mean, how much worse can I get right now?
Well, I think that was what was interesting when, as you were describing it, you were putting your energy into your hand. Does it take your, and like, would you feel like exhausted by the end? They might feel better as if you've given them almost a blood transfusion, but of energy.
I don't think anything has changed that much as far as my own health. I mean, I follow up with doctors and whatever. I might be a little tired by the end of the day. I mean, but then again, reading tarot cards all day long is extremely exhausting.
Things like that. Have you ever had bad experiences with it?
The only thing I could think of as far as that, I've given people news or I've told people this is what I'm getting from your energy.
Right.
And it needs to be fixed. And I've told people about, you know, I feel like you've had a miscarriage and they've cried. But I was able to take away that emotional numbness or emptiness and it's been fixed. And they've moved on and they've had babies after that. So that's, I love that. You know, I'll that's sit and incredible. Cry with them and... It's a good feeling.
I've been getting involved in this a lot the past year and some change as we talked. And I didn't really know too much into it, but I said, you know what? Let me learn something new. And how on point it was even scary.
Yeah.
To the point where you don't even want to ask any more questions until you think about it. And then you come back the next day. And when I had Reiki done to me, all I remember is feeling numb. And she said my spirit animal was a fox. She saw a fox running around me. I don't know what she said. I can't really say what it is. It's just there's a fox. There was like Zen music.
Did you find out what does the fox say?
Meow meow. Yeah, but like stuff like that. Like I mean, like mind blowing because like you always remember that now. But then you start fixating on, well, when is this going to happen? And then you start thinking about it constantly. And then if you can't overwhelm yourself on when. Just believe and trust, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part, trusting.
Yeah. It's really interesting when I, when someone will say, you know, I don't believe in it. And I'll say, okay, so you're there. I'm here. I'm going to put my laptop open, stand there, close your eyes, and I'll do something really bizarre. And they're like, so what did you feel? Nothing. Really? Then why did you react the way you reacted?
Right.
That was really like the most bizarre, messed up thing I've ever felt in my life. Well, then why did you say nothing?
Right. they don't want to admit it.
Right.
Not at
See,
first.
And I think that's the hardest part, especially as you had mentioned earlier when you said, like, it's not necessarily religious, that some people get so stuck in what their version of reality is that you can't, that you, they won't question it. Mm-hmm. To me, I think the whole thing is, what I think is the most fascinating thing about being on this planet is the fact that we don't know. We don't know, you know, was it a weather balloon or is that an alien ship?
Right.
I don't know.
Is it really reality?
Right. Well, yeah, where are we? Like, we make that joke all the time. Here, we're in a simulator and all these crazy people can't be real.
It's, you know, like it's the, like, Matrix.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, when you saw the Matrix for the first time, that made a lot of sense. Yeah. Where I really think in alternate universes. Like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, you lay your keys down and then they're gone. And then they're back, right? And you go, I really like, you know, and obviously everybody goes, well, that's because you watch too many Marvel movies. But it's like, you know, I think there's a lot to it. Like, you know, that there's reality that we certainly don't understand. The fact that you've been able to tap in and make sense of it is, I think, what's the most impressive thing, is you have figured out how to kind of see what's out there.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of sight.
Look up the Green Children of Woolpit.
Green Children. Okay, I'm. If you hear me type it in my phone, I'm not ignoring you. I'm writing that down, and I'm taking a phone call. See, now that's cosmic right there.
Damage Radio. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony, how's it going? You have a question or a comment?
Tony.
Hey. I was just had a question about when the show would air and when.
No, we can't talk about that. We can't talk about that.
Oh.
The show is airing right now. You're listening to Completely Damaged right here on MonkoRadio.com. There couldn't be something more exciting that's happening at 4:45 right this second on a Wednesday.
Boom.
Except for you, right?
Yeah, no, this is awesome. Oh, so this is like live right now. My bad, guys.
We are live in 3D. So groovy. I dig me. You're part of this, you know, whole fun thing. That's the great thing. We're not podcasting. We are live going around the planet as we speak.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yep.
So,
I guess that my questions were for, some up and coming projects that Nick was going to be in.
I do have a project coming up. And all I can say really is I go to Chicago in June on contract for a movie. I can't really say too much more about it besides that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what else I could say about that right now. But, thank you. I'm grinding for everything I can get to right now. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get into as many projects, whether it's TV, movies. You know, I'm trying to get into all.
Yeah, how did you like get involved in like acting and stuff? How did that like come about?
I always wanted to act. But as soon as I started, I became a single dad, and I couldn't afford to do all those free projects to get your face out there and stuff like that. But now that my now that the kids are, you know, at a decent age where I can focus on a career again, you know, that's what I'm going for. Cause,
yeah, I get that with the kids where you know what I mean, you lose a little freedoms, but it's worth it in the end.
Yeah,
know?
Man.
Most definitely.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling in, man, and enjoy the rest of your day. It's beautiful out there.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Take care.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. And another thing, Maureen, I got to mention live on air is that what impresses me the most is that you are a huge supporter and advocate for people dealing with learning disabilities and much more, too.
Yes.
Can you talk a little about that? Because my son's on the spectrum, 8 years old, Dylan, and I've learned so much from him and how leaps and bounds that where he is now. And so I know you have stories about that.
Yes, I recently did an interview with Keith Andrew, which is on YouTube. He asked me to be on the show because he has learning disabilities. And I feel it's important for anyone with any kind of disability to push themselves and get out there. I, of course, have disabilities myself. You may not be able to see them, but I am not someone to give up. I keep pushing and make sure that I get out there. I'm not someone to just sit around. I try to kill it every day. Every single day. So anyone out there, you can do whatever you want and dream big.
Yeah.
Write that down. Seriously. Everybody that's out there listening, write that down. Put it on your mirror and say it when you look in the mirror, okay?
Tough times don't laugh, but tough girls do.
Yeah, yep. Man.
Woo!
Love it.
I'm just fascinated by the whole thing. I feel like we're almost out of time, but I feel like we could go for at least another hour.
Seriously.
I feel like, you know, like when you do the cards, like, you know, if you see, like you had mentioned earlier, if you see something that maybe is like not necessarily good news, like, mm-hmm. Oh, will I find the love of my life? And all of a sudden, well, maybe not. You know, like
you're getting a cat.
How do you kind of like, you know, do you temper what you say? Do you say to people, well, you know, it's funny. I heard this phrase the other day. I'm going to manage, help me manage your expectations, which meant yeah, I'm not going to really do what you want. And I was like, I wrote that down. I was like, you know, I was like, what a great, you know, kind of blow off kind of an answer. But I like, how do you like, and I have a whole other story I'm not going to tell in the store on the air, but the how do you're looking at, you're getting results, but you know it's not what they want to hear. How do you kind of temper that?
I really hate that answer.
I know, well, I'm sorry.
I don't know why they said that.
Right.
Okay, so I'm a little different than most card readers. I deal the cards, and as I'm going through them, I read it as kind of like a story. So I don't go by what the number or the words say. I go by what I see in the card, the picture in the card, and I read it intuitively. So if it's something that I feel like they're not going to want to hear and it seems kind of negative, I'll tell them that this is what I do see. Because when I don't ask what, you know, what do you want to know? I say, this is what your spirit guides are saying that you absolutely need to know right now for your better good. And I'll tell them, you know, this don't start freaking out with the first card. Let the cards tell you the story. And I will, I'll start to read as it goes along. And I'll say, you know, these two cards go together and these three cards go together, or however it plays out. And I'm extremely honest always, because I feel like if it were me, I would want to know exactly what it's saying. And I will go through and I will read the cards as they're going along. And then at the end, I will say, do you have any questions? And here's how I feel based on what I'm hearing and what I'm being told. This is how it's going to play out for you. But I do feel that this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen for a reason. And the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to you is happening because something good is going to come out of it. Because I think the worst possible thing that could ever happen to a person is happening for a better reason. And I've seen it myself. I've, you know, look at me now. I mean, I've had these illnesses and diagnoses for a reason, and it's to get me to this point. I was working in a law firm and I was running an entire department. I loved what I did. And when I blacked out that day, I thought, this is the end for me. I was making a lot of money and I thought, this is the end of my life. I'm never going to be able to get back off, you know, up on my feet. But I love what I'm doing right now. I love helping people, and I'm still helping people. I could still help them do what I was doing. I may not, you know, charge them for it, but I can still do that if they need the help that I was offering. But I love my life. I love doing all of this. I love writing movies, and, you know, I love the people that are in my circle. And I cut a lot of people out because I realized that the negativity was killing me. Literally, I have a complete new circle of people around me. They're like my family. I feel like you don't need actual family to be family. Nick's part of my family. Cam's now part of my family. You're now part of my family.
I'm honored. I find you fascinating. I'm telling you, this hour flew by because I'm totally wrapped up in everything that you're talking about.
The guys that I work with on a daily basis. I work, I can't stop using these words, tirelessly and endlessly and relentlessly. David J. Paul and Alfred MacArthur have brought me into a whole new thing completely. We are, you know, writing movies, and we have a TV show that we're working on, and they opened me up into this entertainment world, which I never thought would be possible, and I love every minute of it. And I used to be lying awake all night. I'd sleep maybe 2 hours, and I didn't need sleep, and now I'm exhausted when I finally do go to bed, and I'm like, I wake up and I'm ready to roll, and I just love it so much, and I can't believe I'm where I'm at right now. I love life so much.
And one thing I've learned from just knowing you a short time already is that you got a good heart.
Thank you
and
so much,
you, Cam. You know, you give it all you got, and you don't even want anything back because you've been there and back, and like all you want is someone to be real.
Yeah, honesty
and real.
And loyalty. I don't need anything in return. I've literally done everything, seen everything. The one thing I didn't have was loyalty, and that's important to me.
Yeah. And to have people trust you with what's going on in their life, that's so huge. Because, like, it's so people, everybody can say, I'm fine, you know? When we're really not fine when we say, I'm fine.
Nobody's fine.
No. You know, and for you to give your energy for other people, that speaks
constantly.
Volumes.
Constantly.
That speaks volumes.
And it's important to me because that means that they trust me enough to allow me in.
Like, I got goosebumps right now. Like, I'm, yeah.
Now, look, I know it's a long way back up the turnpike, but you can come back anytime.
Please.
Thank you.
And it would be
I'd
great
love
if we can continue this conversation. Yeah. I know we got Monco All-Stars coming up at 5 o'clock, so we need to scram. Also, anybody within the sound of my voice, the Mustang Lounge is here tonight at Monco. It's Wednesday, February 15th, if you're listening live. If you're listening to the playback, you missed it. But we do have some amazing things going on here. If you follow us along, I'm not sure if there's even a Facebook for the Mustang Lounge. But if you follow Completely Damaged, we'll tell you when it's going to be on. So that's coming up tonight.
Yep. And please throw out your social media links. A Little Witchy, where is that? littlewitchy.com?
It's a littlewitchy.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I do a podcast on Tuesday nights with David J. Paul. It's called Uncensored with David and Maureen. And I have a podcast on Thursday nights, which is with Anthony Simonelli. He's my co-host, and that is called Dimensions of the Supernatural. Both can be found on ERRT Radio, BB3 TV, and it's also in the UK with the UGG. And you can find us on Facebook as well. So and YouTube.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Please come back.
Absolutely. I'd
awesome.
Love it.
Nick.
Invite
Green.
Me back anytime.
You guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. And remember, guys, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkerRadio.com, where music and minds meet.